is you can just take one word and go and go and go and go and go and go, and it's inexhaustible. About the time you think you've got it, you run into a hole. It's like a whole big new room opens up, like trying to dip out the ocean with a thimble. It's impossible to get everything in the Bible and digest it. So tonight, we're going to look at this one word here in Hebrews chapter 4, one of the most well-known verses in the book of Hebrews, verse 16. And it said, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Need. That's the word I want to look at. Need. Need. And I want to talk about this evening being in an hour of need. Ladies and gentlemen, if we're not in an hour of need, I've never seen one. We need the Lord. The truth is, we need Him more than we ever have. We need God. Now, the very fact that people think they don't need God proves how much they do need God. And your level of not believing you need Him proves your level of needing Him. Like if you know you need Him real bad, you still need Him, but you need Him less than persons who think they don't need Him at all. A lot of people think they don't need God at all. We are living in a generation that is taught you don't need anything. You don't need anybody. We don't need nothing. We need nothing. We have bulldozers to remove mountains. We don't need faith anymore. We have penicillin when we get sick. We don't need prayer. We have meditation and yoga to get peace of mind. We don't need the peace of God and the Holy Spirit anymore. We have conditioned ourselves to think we can get along without God. But the Bible said we can find grace in a time of need. You need Him most when you feel like you need Him least. I like the song that says, "I need Thee every hour. I need Thee every hour." And so tonight, I'd like for us to be conscious of our need of Him. I worry very much about people who feel no need of God. You talk to some people, and boy, they'll bow their head. I talked to a guy the other day. Man, he bowed in and said, "Man, I know it." Up here in Virginia, I talked to this guy. He's been over working on a car. His name was, I believe it was DJ. Y'all pray for DJ. And he said, "Hold on, let me turn this motor off." And he turned the motor off at the truck, and he stuck his head out. He's been over, and he come out. And I said, "DJ, we're having revival, and you need the Lord and everything. And you know what?" That old boy looked at me and he said, I know I need to come. I know that's good." And he said he realized he had a need. There's a lot more hope for somebody like that than there is somebody that says, "Well, I don't need God. What do I need God for? I'm making more money than I've ever made. My family's all healthy. We're going on 18 vacations in 16 weeks this summer. And we're going to stay gone. More than we stay home and claim we're broke. And loafer all summer long and goof off, and I don't need God." And the devil, we've prospered so much in this country that people honestly feel like they don't need God. So let's talk about it tonight. Let's talk about it tonight. We need God. First, let's think about this. We need God in our daily life, just normal everyday life. I'm talking about driving to work, working out in the yard, His presence. Have you ever felt the Lord or talked to the Lord mowing the grass? I have. Sometimes I'm mowing grass and I start thinking of things. One time when the terrorists hit the buildings up there, I got a message on my heart mowing on my lawnmower. I was riding out in the yard and a message just came to me just as plain as day. And we need the Lord in our everyday life. I think some people think that you compartmentalize God. That God fits in a box Sunday morning from 11 to 12, and then you don't give it another thought till the next Sunday morning at 11 to 12, unless you decide you want to go fishing or lake or something. And that's their idea of living for God. I give God this little time, but the rest of the time, let me tell you something, people. You need God every day at work. You need God every day. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about the Lord. I'm not talking about living by a set of standards. We should. But I'm talking about needing the Lord. And the Lord, I need Thee every hour. You know what? You've heard me say it over and over. I start every day, I mean every day, with my Bible reading and my prayer to get myself in the right frame of mind, the right spirit. A lot of people are trying to live the Christian life without the Lord. And it's hard, man. You jump up and turn on the news and listen to secular radio all the way to work. You ain't got a spiritual thought in your head, and then go in there and your boss man starts fussing or people you work with. How are you going to act? You're not going to act right. You need the Lord while you're there at work. You need the Lord to put you in the right spirit before you go to school or to work. Let me ask you a question. I hope I don't get nobody in trouble when I say this. How many of y'all work with somebody, or I could say live with somebody, or I know people like this, that you honestly have to pray a while to get yourself conditioned before you go be around them at work? You know, anybody? Okay, we all got. There's this one person at work that just irritates the fire out of you. Ain't that the way it is? Maybe more than one. And, you ladies, it's just this one old bossy lady at work. And she thinks she's the owner of the place. And she tries to boss everybody around. And you just think, oh, if I have to deal with her one more day, I'm going to smack her. Lord, if you don't help me, I'm going to smack her. Lord, please let me. And you have to pray. You need the Lord to deal with people like that. Because they can get on your last nerve, buddy. Or a neighbor. I've never had neighbor troubles in my life. Or where we live, you know, really ain't got no neighbor. Up on the hill where I live, my nephew lives down below us, and my mom lived across from me, and now mom's gone, and some other people live in her house, and a trailer below me. And just in the past few months, we have developed some neighbor problems. One of the neighbors wants this, and the other neighbor wants that. And I'm sort of caught in the middle trying to make them both happy. One of my neighbors said, Danny, I think y'all do this, this. And I said, now look, I try to be fair with everybody. They rent my mom's house, or they rent, you live here. Well, everybody respect each other's rights. That's the way we always have done it up here in the holler, and that's what we want to still do. But you know what? There's a lot of people that have major neighbor problems. Have you ever had neighbor problems, anybody? Well, you ought to thank God if you live in a place now where you and your neighbors get along. You have neighbor problems? Well, you have a bunch of people living right next door, raises Cain till 12 o'clock at night and music playing. Or everybody's got a crazy woman that lives next door to them. How many of y'all have a crazy woman that lives next? Okay. Half the people in here. How many of y'all got a crazy woman that lives with you? One walked in the door when I said that, but she's not. Amen. How many of y'all have a crazy woman who lives next, let's say near you? We all do. All right. Dusty had a crazy woman that lived beside him. And he run over her cat drunk one night, and she called cops on him. Is that about right? That's close. Oh, he was drunk and run over a dog. Huh? How did I know that? Amazing how the Lord reveals things to you when you're up here prayed up like this. He was drunk and run over the woman, and the cat got him. But seriously, you know what you got to do? You got to pray. You got to pray. You need the Lord. Look, people, you can't live the Christian life without the Lord. Some of you people right here, you got up this morning, turned the TV on, eat, because you ain't going to let that body do without nothing. Whatever that body wants, it's going to get. And then you fool around all day and did not read your Bible, you did not pray, and then you say, well, I don't know why I act like I do. You're trying to live the Christian life without God. You need the Lord. The only thing that helps me stay straight, and I don't always stay straight. I really don't. I get out of line and act stupid, say things I shouldn't say. The only thing that keeps me right is the Lord. We need the Lord. We need to pray and say, now, Lord, help me do right. Help me to act right toward my neighbor. So we've had just a little bit of neighbor problems lately. Just a little bit, not much. A couple of neighbors not getting along. And I try to be the mediator in between them and say, now, you be nice to them and you be nice to them. Compromise. Everybody give in. Now, if you have a neighbor like that, you're going to have to pray that the Lord will help you to handle it like a Christian. Because I guarantee you this, they know you go to church and they're going to be watching you. Oh, they claim to be this big Christian. They can live like a devil, but they expect us to be perfect. Ain't that right? My neighbors don't even go to church, but buddy, they expect me to walk a perfect line. And so we need the Lord in our everyday life, just every day. I'll tell you how to do it. Get up every morning, read you at least 3 chapters, and pray, Lord, help me stay in the right spirit. You say, well, I've done that, Brother Danny, and I went to work, and she smarted off to me, and before I realized, I snapped back at her. Okay, try it again. Ask God to forgive you, and ask them to forgive you if you have to, if you need to, and then try it again tomorrow. Don't just say, oh, well, that's life. Lord, have mercy, man. We ought to be a Christian at work. We ought to be a Christian at school. We ought to be a Christian at home. If you act wrong, repent, ask forgiveness, and then start all over again and do right. All right. I didn't plan on getting on this, but does anybody have an example of neighbor problems without naming names that can help with this, and you had to pray about it or shoot them one? Anybody? While you're thinking, there's a man in West Virginia. We was up there in that big revival, and some of the guys went and witnessed to him, tried to get him to come to church, and he said, I ain't coming. He's laid up in the bed, had his leg broke or something. He said, I can't come to church and get saved. They said, why? He said, because I'm going to kill my neighbor. He said, I'm going to shoot him. As soon as my leg gets better, and I'm telling you, up there in West Virginia, they when they say that, they're going to do it. He said, I'm going to go shoot him when I get better. He said, why? He said, he run over my dog, and he said, hit my mailbox, and when I get better, I'm going to, they said, well, you got to get saved. He said, I can't get saved. You can't get saved when you're getting ready to go kill your neighbor. That's right, you can't. That's right, you sure can't. So, you know what? You know what he should do? He should get right with God and get those hard feelings out and say, Lord, I want to be right with you. I need you. We need the Lord. People need the Lord. We need the Lord in our everyday life. All right, now somebody got an illustration about the neighbor. Playing baseball. I thought she was going to, he went like that. I said, no, Jimmy, don't do that. He busted her in the jaw. Yeah, amen. Well, I mean, I guess that's all right. I guess you handled it pretty good. I don't know if it... Amen. That's what you need to do. And if there is hard feelings, make it right next time you see them. I was trying to think while you was talking. Have I ever slammed the door in somebody's face? And I don't think I have. Two times. One time, a man was sitting in my living room, and he had been drinking, and he was cussing really bad. And I asked him, I didn't say you got to leave. I didn't say you have to leave. I said, if you're going to talk like that in my house, you're going to have to leave. So I left the choice up to him. See what I mean? I didn't say, get out of here. I said, you can't talk like that in my house. It's just like you come in here and start cussing. I tell you, you can't talk like this in the house of God or on God's property. And he was cussing. I said, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not. But you can't talk like that in my house. My kids, you know, in front of the kids and everything. And then another time, this guy was really upset with me, and I was having a lot of trouble at the time. And I was on my last nerve, and he was beating on the back door, demanding to talk to me. And I went, and he said, let me in, Daddy! And I said, I ain't going to do it. I've got problems. I've got trouble that I'm dealing with right now. He kept screaming and hollering, let me in, let me in. And I said, if you don't leave, I'm going to call the police and turn around and lock. That's the worst I've ever treated anybody that come to my house. I think, maybe I might think of another one. Oh, gosh. That's bad if you got one like that. That's bad if you got one like that. There are people, this is off the subject, but there are people that are 911 addicted. They absolutely love to call the cops. And that's just like going to the doctor. There are people that's addicted to going to the doctor. Least little old tiny thing. Listen, in the last 6 months, I've had a broke ankle. And I got a cracked rib, I'm sure, right now. And I ain't been to the doctor in 4 years since I went to a checkup. Why would you go to a doctor? That somebody's going to get better anyway. I broke my finger playing ball. This guy about killed me about 2 weeks ago, and I know you don't keep sore that long. I know it's cracked. It hurts right there to breathe. But what are they going to do with it? I ain't going to the doctor. You get addicted to going to the doctor, and you get addicted to calling the cops. I don't do either one of them. Let's have to. Oh, my goodness. So you got a woman that all she does is sit and look out the window and see if a kid bicycle runs across the corner of her yard. You're going to have to need... Oh, he's the one that called the cop 300 times? Don't call the cops unless you have to. Unless you have to. That would cut out half of their expenses if people would do that. Don't go to the doctor unless you have to. If you have to, you have. If you don't have to, don't. That would cut out half the health expenses. You know, when I hurt my rib, it's hurting. I'm going to the emergency room. That's crazy. It costs $800 to go to the emergency room. That's what I paid when I went with that kidney stone that time. Well, that was several years ago. ain't going, man. I'll die. Y'all bury me. No, the only way I'm going to the emergency room is if I have to. That when I tore my knee out that time playing ball, I went home. The girls come and helped me up the steps, and I laid down and waited to go to the next doctor the next day. What can they do for you? And at late at 10 o'clock at night, nothing. What can they do for you? Nothing. Give you pain medicine. Yep, that's right. $2,000. Anyway, I didn't mean to get off on all that. But if you got a neighbor, I was thinking about something while we were talking about it and got off. So, a neighbor come and this neighbor said, a neighbor down the road, listen to this, how dumb. Told a lie about me and said something about me that's not true. I went and seen a lawyer. I'm going to see a lawyer and sue him for defamation of character. Again, don't go to a lawyer unless you have to. Listen, I ain't giving the lawyer no money, but I don't have to. Only way I'm going to go to a lawyer, brother, if you drag me in and I have to. You don't need a lawyer. You don't need the cops or anything. Just do what he said. Act like a Christian. Go by the commandments of the Lord and do right, and 99% of the stuff will work it out. Now, if you get beside a crazy person, you know, I don't know what to tell you, but pray, Lord, help me. If you know you're going to have to deal with a crazy person, pray. Don't try to live right without the Lord. Pray about 30 minutes every morning. Read your Bible about 30 minutes. Say, Lord, help me today to be nice. Help me today when I see her. Help me to just wave at her. Help me. All's forgotten. All's forgiven like you do me. All right, anybody else have a comment? Somebody used to come to church here. They don't come no more. They live way over yonder in Granite Falls. And they text me every now and then and said, our neighbor is trying to, there was a dispute about that much property going down their driveway. But it wasn't that much. And they was threatening lawsuits and everything. The land ain't even worth what they'd pay to sue somebody over that. That piece of land ain't worth that. My neighbors, when I was growing up, built a swimming pool and didn't know where his line was, and daddy had his land surveyed because he bought some more land, and half their swimming pool was on my daddy's land. You know what some people would have done right then? Took a fit and made them take it out. And daddy, he wasn't hard to get along with. He'd say, don't worry about it, and just let it go. It's still to this day on my land. They finally covered that pool up, but my property line goes right through it, the land that I own right now. I don't care. I had a building on their land. And I didn't know it. It was a little bit on their land, a little prayer shack that I used to have. So don't be so doggone hard to get along with. Don't be so rigid that you sue somebody over a piece of 2 inches, a piece of property. It's not worth it. I don't mean to get off on all. I don't know how we got off on all that. All right, anybody else want to say anything right quick? You know what God will do? God will allow you just enough trouble in your life to make you realize you need Him. You can't do it by yourself. You ain't smart enough. You ain't spiritual enough. I ain't. He lets me have enough trouble to make me realize I need you, Lord. I need you. I ain't worth shooting without you. I'm no good without you. I am. The biggest mistake you ever make is start thinking you're good or you're something special or you're great or you've got it together or you've got this, you know, all that kind of stuff. You've not, I've not. We need the Lord. People need the Lord. We need the Lord in your everyday life. You need Him most when you think you need Him least. The more or less you feel like you need God, the more you do need God. You know who needs God more than anybody? People that think they don't need Him. All right. Number two. We need God. We need the Lord in our church services. In our church services. I heard a preacher say something one time, and it's sad but true. He said the rapture could come this Sunday and half the churches would go right on business as usual. Wouldn't even make a difference. Lord have mercy. What would happen, I hope, what would happen if the rapture comes Sunday morning about 15 or 10? I hope that they'd just be a handful of people sitting in here and visitors come in and say, where's everybody at? I hope. I know I'd be gone. And I don't know about the rest of you. But I know I'd be gone. I hope all of you are, and I believe you are. But did you know a lot of churches would go on business as usual? If you can have church without God, I mean, He can lead and you never know it. I mean, if He ain't there anyway. There'll be priests, there's popes, there's preachers, there's deacons, there's Sunday school teachers that go around. I say we need the Lord in our church services. We need the Lord in our church services. Church is not just to be informative. It's supposed to touch your heart. Now, sometimes we learn stuff at church. I like a full, balanced diet. Sometimes we study doctrine. Sometimes we study prophecy. Sometimes we study rightly dividing the word. Sometimes we study the future event. Sometimes we study just practical living. Sometimes we talk about sin. That's what it should be. I've been to churches where you hear the exact same thing every single Sunday, just maybe in a little bit different twist on it. And that is not the way church is supposed to be. We need the Lord in our church services. You get food at church, it should be a balanced diet, just like you want at home. You don't want to eat the same thing every day. You want your wife to cook something different. Chicken one day, spaghetti another day, corn on the cob, mashed potatoes, gravy, or sandwich, hot dog. And that's the way church is. That's the way church is. I know church where all you get is a hot dog every Sunday. You need some meat. Need some meat. We need the Lord in our church services. I pray and pray and pray and pray all week long. I pray God be in our church service. God be in our church service. God be in our church service. I go in my closet, pray. I pray while I'm driving. I pray all the time people don't even know about. God, please, God, please, God, please, God, please. Because I know that just His presence in the service can do more in 5 minutes than I can do in a lifetime. I've seen it over and over and over. Somebody have a good song. That's why singing's so important. Singing is so important in church because something about melody and harmony opens up our heart for the truth to stick in it. That's what it's for. And the Word of God pierces the heart. So we need the Lord in our services. We need the Lord in our church services. I like that story. Said that little boy standing in the lobby one Sunday morning and had all these guys, the Army and the Navy, and he said, "Who's that, preacher?" He said, "That's son. That's all of our members that have died in the service." He said, "Was it the morning service or the night service?" I thought, there'd be people die in a lot of churches and they'd never know it. They'd never know it. I mean, they're sitting there like they're in a coma. I've been to churches. I don't mean this bad, but I've seen people sitting there like this. And not crack a smile, not the whole time. And then I'm preaching my head off and they just have no expression. I think, well, are they dead? Are they deaf? Are they? You've heard me tell it over and over and over. There's a woman died in church and they called the paramedics, some big fancy church. Paramedics, they come in, carried four women out before they got the right one. And we don't want that. We need the presence of the Lord in our church. We need the presence of the Lord, amen. Hallelujah. I like to go to church where the power of the Lord is present to heal them. I like to go to church where there's some power. And the only way we're going to have power is pray. If we don't pray, there'll be no power. Preacher don't pray, ain't going to have no power. It's not about talent. It's not about, Lord, I'm not Joseph Prince or somebody. We're not about like some Joel Osteen or something. There's got to be power. There's got to be power that makes people want to quit sinning and fall in love with Jesus. Right? It's not our imagination. It's the power of the Lord. God's power in our services. Then I want to say, thirdly, tonight, let's talk about this. We need the Lord in our family life. In our family life. Kids are taught by example. Now, if your kid grows up when they're this high, here's daddy. And every Monday night, and every Sunday afternoon, all he does is watch football. And it's, yeah, get him, yeah, get him, Rams, yeah, go, go, like that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong. I like to watch basketball. I watched a little bit of the game last night because it's the last one. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but I'm saying if that's all your kids see you get excited about, they're going to grow up doing the same thing. I'm not saying it's wrong to watch a football game or even get excited about one. This preacher went to a man's house one time, and he came in and sat down, and the wife said, "I'll have dinner." He's after church. She said, "I'll have it ready in a few minutes. Go ahead and sit down, preacher."
He said he sat down over here. His brother Ed McAfee. He said he sat down over here. He said that guy turned the TV on and went like this. You like wrestling? And he said, Brother Ed said, well, not really. And he just sat there. He said, well, I do. And buddy, that wrestling come on. He's like this. And he was into it. He was into it. Now, personally, I don't like wrestling. I'm talking about that fakes kind, you know. There's something about a bunch of 300-pound women wearing pink panties throwing each other around that just don't do nothing for me. I'm not interested in that. That is a weird-looking thing to me. And but some people go crazy over that. And some people really believe, I mean, they go crazy over that stuff. Old John Mitchell said, he said, my grandma was the only one I ever met that thought the trip to the moon was fake and wrestling was real. But if this guy, if he's all into this wrestling, here's so-and-so and there's old Ric Flair. I got Maria right in, y'all. That hurt. I run into this boy really, really, really hard. His knee hit me right here or something. He said, Ric Flair jumps up, you know, and here's so-and-so, and I don't even know who they are nowadays. Who's popular now? John who? Cena. Never heard of him. He wear pink panties? Purple, I bet. If he's pink, he's really bad. If he's purple, he's half. Never heard of him. But back years ago, they'd go over there and say, I'm going to get you. You come out here, boy. I'm going to, you know, come on, man. And I like the way they do this, you know, bounce on the ropes, you know, bend over like this, throw them over. If you're going to fight, that you don't cooperate with each other. It's not. I mean, you know what I mean? It ain't and they hit him like I'm hitting his microphone. Boom, 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 boom. They don't get that close to him. And we had old Tully Blanchard up there marrying one time. Remember Tully Blanchard? He was real popular. And he had him in. And he come walking in. He wasn't much bigger than me. Not a whole lot. And they said, that's him? They make him big on TV, you know, the muscle and everything. And honest to goodness, that guy... He wasn't near as big as Jeremy. Not near as big as Jeremy. And Ric Flair, I've seen him too. I've seen him down at the airport in Charlotte. And guy come in and they said, everybody asked him, said, well, we're in church now. Is wrestling real? He said, all I can say is you don't take a 300-pound man and pull him out and it be fake. But of course, he wouldn't answer the question. Of course, they're really picking him up. We see that. But they don't know who's going to win and everything. But anyway, you know what would be good? If your kids could see you get excited about the Lord. Now, I want to know who's had this happen. You don't have to tell me. But if it's not, I want this to be your goal. And I'm going to give you some real good advice. Parents, pray and pray and pray until one day it finally happens. You have a little church in your home, a little church service. God gets real. Maybe you start crying, and then when your kids look at you and they see you holding that Bible, and God gets real to you, they shouldn't just see you get real at church. If the only time you're real at church, and then I told them you're watching Shoot 'Em Up and adultery and people getting drunk and all that, they're going to grow up confused, saying the only time daddy got religion is when he's at church. The only time mama loves the Lord when she's at church, she bites her head off the rest of the time. Have church at home once in a while. Once in a while, let it get good with you and your wife, you and your husband. Cry. Say, Lord, let's read this together. Let's get down and pray. Have church. We need the Lord in our homes. Years ago, back when the preacher couldn't come around, old circuit riding preachers, sometimes they could just come a couple times a month. My buddy, people had church in their home. Daddy would gather around, read the Bible. All the family would be there at the supper table. And brother, they'd get a hold of God, man. Right there in the home. We need the Lord in our home. He should show up in your home once in a while. Let's let that be our goal. Every one of us, me, you, let's pray, Lord, I want you to come in my home once in a while and let it be real in my home. How long has it been since you just started? Carrie brought the kids over there. Monday was Chris's birthday. And Kelly had to go to the hospital to see her niece, who's really, really, really got sick. I want you to pray for her. She's only 16 years old and having some bad sickness. And Carrie brought the kids over, and Corey brought Gage over. And I said, I always try to think, now's my chance. Now's my chance. And they all got in there cutting up, running around. You know how they are. And I said, all right, kids, come on in here and let's sing. Come on, get around the piano, let's sing. So I got down to the piano, and I just hit that chord. Every morning when I wake up, she's... And Gage started singing. And Aniston, she's a big singer. You know, she's a big singer. Oh, speak of them, they're walking in the door right now. Talking about you, Ants. And are they coming up here to do something? Just bring them on, because I'm about ready to stop. I was talking about, and y'all come on if you want to, kids. And boy, we started having a little service there. It started getting good. Started getting good right there in my house. And we ought to do that once in a while. They ought to know, listen, kids shouldn't think, are y'all listening to me? Kids should not think that church is the only place you're supposed to have church. Ain't that right? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God, Noah, give me your five right there. Amen, brother. Amen. All right, hallelujah. What have y'all been doing back there? Amen. Put your mic's on, John. All right. Now, the teenager's still back there somewhere. Wrong one, brother. I was going to say, I know that some of y'all have been doing good with that. I was thinking just while we was going on this trip, not to leave nobody out, while we was going on this trip, Owen, Dusty's boy, up there, he sat beside me about a few hours on the way there, and me and him talked a little bit. And I tell you, that boy, he's only 14 or whatever. You'd be surprised. It's a scripture he knows. He knows when God's around. He knows what's important. That's good. You know where he gets that? He gets that at home, and he gets that at church. So y'all done something right with that boy. Maria, y'all know Maria, Jessica's mom. And Maria's a single mom. And y'all know she has her struggles and fights, battles, and everything with a single mom. And her kids, little Andrea, they know every one of them choir songs by heart. They didn't learn that at church. They're hearing it in the car. They're hearing it at home. We need the Lord in our home, people. While you're home, keep Christian radio on. Keep some other stuff on that gets in their head and their heart. So, anyway, what are we going to do? Bible, I thought y'all was going to sing, man. I want y'all to sing every morning when I wake up. Okay, you will do that too? You will.
Thank you very much, our sister. See this girl right here? She gets it at home. I know she does. Because the other day I was trying to sing a song. I said, how'd you know that? She said, we got the CD out in our car. That's good. What do your kids hear you listening to? Too loud, bro. What do your kids hear you listening to? Some fool country singer? It ain't worth it, parents. It ain't worth it. Grow up. Be an example. Grow up sometime and be an example for your kid. All right, what are we going to do, Carrie?
Let me get you another mic. You hold that one. And one of y'all back here hold this one. Oh, you will. All right. You boys. All right. Go ahead. What are we going to do?
Genesis.